High noon in the District of Columbia. Right now, excited to get to the BetQL guest line. Sports betting has come to the DMV. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. Joined now by Jake DeLome, Pro Bowl quarterback, Super Bowl quarterback, and a raging Cajun.
That's which right. That's might the reason we have him on here. He's a raging Cajun.
How you doing, Jake?
What up, Jake?
I'm doing great. What's up, B. Mitch? No, I'm doing great. I am a raging Cajun, and I'm like Brian. I am a USL raging Cajun.
There you go,
times
baby.
Times have changed. Now it's University of Louisiana, but we go back to the USL days.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what does it say about B. Mitch that all of his former teams are trying to change their names? Do you think it's like they're trying to differentiate from the B. Mitch era?
No, they don't. He's the greatest player to ever wear a Raging Cajun uniform, and people still genuflect whenever they see highlights of Brian Mitchell. That's for certain. He carried that football team for years.
Well, Jake, obviously you had your most success in the NFL with the Panthers. You guys went to the Super Bowl against – I mean, that Super Bowl you played against New England was an all-timer. They came out on the other side. But I'm guessing the Panthers organization means a lot to you. Was yesterday kind of a tough one?
It was, man. The organization means a great deal to me. I started doing the radio in 2019, and myself and Luke Kuechly, we kind of tag team it, and it means a lot. And I got to tell people, I bleed Carolina blue, and it's we've been doing a lot of bleeding the last few years. I'll be quite honest. It's been tough, and kind of going into this season, anticipation. I know for myself, if I'm going to look, I was being unbelievably realistic. I said, I think we can get 5 or 6 wins, you know, hopefully 7. We weren't there yet. We had some good pieces. Did I think it would be this difficult, especially defensively? No, because I didn't think we'd lose as many players that we have. And that's not making excuses. That's the reality of it. And when we line up on Sundays, to be very honest, we're so depleted in our front 7 that it's almost like a make-it-take-it situation with us offensively. Like, we've got to score. And that's kind of – and yesterday, nice open and drive, really nice mix of running pass to go down the field, and then the unfortunate interception on the screen that they took it the other way, and it just – it didn't go well from that point on. And that's the reality of the situation. Nobody's come and save us. And that's what we're going to deal with the rest of the year until we maybe get a body or two back on defense. It's a tough situation right now.
Jake, we dealt with a lot of losing around here, too. but what went wrong with Bryce Young?
You know, Brian, this is just my take on it. I watched him play all 16 games last year. Well, 16 games. I'm sorry. One game he did not start due to an ankle. And I saw a kid get sacked 62 times. But I saw a kid that stayed in the pocket. And he tried. He stayed. He took hits. He got out of 20-plus sacks easily. We had 15 different combinations of guards that played last year. Just, it was one thing after another. Adam Thielen was our number one wide receiver, and I don't think anyone anticipated him catching over 100 passes last year. It was just one of those. And so they made an effort in the offseason. We signed a couple of guards to a lot of money. We drafted some receivers. We brought another receiver in, and looking forward to what we could do offensively to give him a chance. And I'm going to be quite honest, the first game of the season in New Orleans, it went poor, almost as poor as yesterday. Not quite as poor as what we saw yesterday, but it was just that way. And the first play of the game, he was coming out on a pass, and this is all my opinion, and he kind of tripped over the guard, and he rushed the throw, and it airmailed on him, and it was a pick. And it was like, I don't know if here we go again set in or whatnot, but there was it didn't seem normal for the rest of that game and the next game. And the reason I say that, I saw him miss some passes that I watched with my own eyes in person make last year. He's unbelievably accurate, and his anticipation is really good. Is he slight of frame? 100%. Yes, he is. But especially when he gets out to the pocket, moving right or left, the kid is deadly, deadly accurate. And I saw him airmail a couple, which I didn't see that last year. And then I saw his body language get affected, especially week 2 against the Chargers. That wasn't him. And to me, it was just someone that, okay, he needs a reset. He needs to sit for a second. To me, that's what I saw. I had that at one point in my career where you do all this work, you stay extra, you do extra, and you're just overthinking. The whole paralysis from analysis type of situation. And I just didn't see him just letting it go. And it was almost like every throw was just difficult. And there was a couple of just even swing passes to the side, right and left, that they went in the ground. It was just one of those. And so I think they did right. They sat him down, and Andy came in. We had a big game beating the Raiders. And offensively, we've done some decent things the last, you know, four or five games, to be quite honest. And yesterday, I don't think anything was good anyway you look at it. But that's just been the situation we're in. And, yes, I understand that where the situation might lead. I'm not sure where we end up. And the calling, okay, let's at least put Bryce back in. Let's see if we can just find out anything about him to see if we need to go what direction next year. Because with all intents and purposes, we'll be drafting extremely high next year. So we'll see where it goes. I haven't heard the presser yet from Coach Canales yet on Monday after they review the film from yesterday. But certainly it wasn't good. But offensively, we just didn't give ourselves a chance yesterday. And we've done that the last two games against Atlanta. We had opportunities late in the fourth quarter to go on a game tie and drive against Cincinnati the week prior. So there has been signs. Just yesterday, just wasn't that day.
Were you, Jake, were you surprised how dominant the Washington defense was for like you mentioned, you know, Carolina's been moving the ball pretty well since Dalton came in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I definitely was. I thought Chicago, we struggled the most. I think that's a sneaky good football team, to be very honest. Watching that team, especially in the flesh, seeing them in person, that is a big, large, fast football team. I was shocked just seeing them in person. And they gave us fits. But, yeah, I was surprised yesterday. I thought with Jonathan Allen being down defensively for you guys that we could have ran the ball a little more effectively and really and truly keep Jaden Daniels on the sideline. I mean, that's the game plan in essence. You got to keep him off the field. He's so dangerous. And it looked that way the first drive. Hey, we're moving it. We're throwing it. We're running it. We're using different personnel. We're getting different people involved. And then the screen pass returned. And then just nothing going. And then we had the other interception where 13 was able to jump the dig route for Washington. And it just went downhill from there. And just nothing seemed – it was one of those games, and I hate to say it, that happens in the NFL, but there's always some – I don't want to say always, but teams that struggle, it seems like there's always a game where it's just, okay, you got to flush that one quick and you got to get ready to go because it doesn't get any easier. You know, we got to go to Denver, and that's a team that I was actually watching some film on them last night, and this is no disrespect to them. I don't know a lot of their players because it's like a new kind of regime, certainly with Sean, but, man, they play hard, and they're talented right now. Yeah, we all know Surtain and a couple of other players on the team, but other than that, it's just nobody's coming to save you in the NFL. That's just the way it goes, you know. So we got to regroup quick and see what we can do.
You've seen some games with Jaden Daniels. What's your overall thought on him?
Yeah, Brian, I've been watching him since LSU. You know, I only live 45 minutes from Baton Rouge, and so watching him play. And when somebody makes SEC defenses look slow, which is what he did last year, it had to make you take notice. And just watch his progression. Because as a junior at LSU, he threw the ball okay. I thought there was some consistency issues throwing the football. And as a senior, you just saw him take his game to another level, especially down the field type throws and decision making. But he was so gifted and he moved so well in the pocket. It's like not a strain for him. And so you knew he's going to give people fits in the NFL. And in preparing for the game this past yesterday's game, watching some of the film, it's like you're watching a progression. His running is off the charts, okay? Mm-hmm. But you're watching a progression of him throwing. And the Cincinnati game, I thought he made some great throws, but I thought there was a couple that, you know what, he probably could have thrown that. And that's something that, because he's so talented with his legs, that, in his mind, if it's not wide open or NFL or like college open, I guess you could say, he's going to be smarter with the football. And that's a credit to him. But as he gets more, then you saw later in that Cincinnati game, he made the throw to McLaurin for the touchdown. You know, you just start to see over and over just a little steps. And I'm drawing a blank on who he played. He threw a touchdown pass. Gosh, it was in the back corner, in the back of the end zone by the goalpost. He just set his feet and he let it go early with air. And it's like, this game seems slow. It almost seems like it's slow in front of his eyes. And to watch the first play yesterday with a kind of a counter, and he takes it, and he's like just tiptoeing through the forest, just the way he runs. It's just so smooth. He's so fun to watch. But yeah. I've had a close-up look for him the last couple of years and knew one of my buddy's friends is a quarterback at LSU, and they raved about him in the classroom with him. Just a good guy, works his tail off. And I've got a couple of dear friends that work for the Commanders, and we were texting last week, and he said, Jake, he's been a rock star since he first got here. He said, just he's all in, and it's all ball. And listen, that's what you want. You hit a home run, and it certainly looks like Washington has done that.
What did you think yesterday? Speaking with Jake Delhomme, works with the Panthers on the radio, obviously took the Panthers to a Super Bowl where they came up one Adam Vinatieri field goal away from getting a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Raging Cajun with B. Appreciate you making time for us, Jake. As a former quarterback that probably took some big shots along your career, what'd you think of Jake of Jaden when he had to go out? And do you think that's not to ask you to speculate specifically on the injury, but just kind of, you know, if you think he didn't come back in because of the state of that game kind of being a blowout, or if there's more to it?
You know, I would think, to be quite honest, and certainly we don't know anything yet, but I would think a lot was due to the factors of the game, to be very honest. I think had it been a little tighter, you might have seen him again. I'm just glad it wasn't a knee. When he first went down, it looked like he just dragged a leg and he went down. I'm like, oh, gosh, please no. But then when they said it was that rib area, and listen, I don't know what it is, but I've had something like that prior to one of my seasons in Carolina. I pulled a rib cartilage. Mm-hmm. In practice, and it felt like I got stabbed. Yeah. And I missed a little – I don't think I missed a few days of practice, whatever it may be. It was just one of those type of situations. Now, I don't know what his is, but certainly, you know, watching him smile on the sideline in the second half, and, yes, he was frustrated when he kind of threw the ball down or his helmet down whenever he was going out of the game. That's the competitor coming out, certainly. But you would like to think that, you know, they caught it early enough, and it did get traumatized more, so to speak. So hopefully he's back out there sooner than later. And if anything, it doesn't look like it's a serious long-term type of injury.
Yeah, for the people that he runs, okay, and like you talked about how he make everybody look slow. Everyone wants to say, well, he needs to stop running. But like when you look at it, he was stiff arming the guy, and he went to go down, and the guy landed on top of him. That's a freak accident. But I would never take away that ability he has to run the football.
Well, I guess not. I mean, that's a gift. I mean, that's the good Lord's gift that he gave him. Yeah, he can throw it, but he can run it. He can see it. I mean, he does a great job. Yes, he's gotten hit a couple of times in college. Ole Miss, he got hit one time. I don't know if he just didn't see the guy. I can vividly remember. But other than that, he does a great job of kind of like getting out of bounds and sliding and taking those hits. I think, Brian, I think you know it well also. Certain guys, they can take hits. They know how to deflect and not take the full blows, you know. But that's a gift. You don't want to take that away. To me, you don't take that away. And he's going to get smarter, and he'll understand, you know, this is 17 games. I mean, this is not college where it's, 12 games and you have four or five cupcakes in there. This is week in and week out. So, you know, he'll do a good job. And he's proven durable. I mean, this guy's played a ton of football from Arizona State and certainly LSU, so he's proven pretty durable.
He for sure has.
Yep.
What did you think, Jake, a guy that in your NFL career undoubtedly has made some visits up to what used to be FedEx Field, is now Northwest Stadium, to kind of – what do you think, talking with your friends at Coach or working the front offices around the league – about this Washington team, the buzz is really, really different now. I'm curious if you kind of noticed that or picked up on it.
Yeah, it's real. You know, all along, you knew the fan base and the pride that area, the D.C. area, has for that football team. And it went on hard times for a while. And Dan Henning was a longtime coach with Joe Gibbs in that era up in Washington. And he was my offensive coordinator in Carolina. And they talked about it. And, you know, it's fun. It's refreshing. I know the NFL is going to love it. Just wait till next year. You know how many Monday night football games and Sunday night games they're going to have the Commanders on next year? It brings excitement back. And you can write that in pen, not pencil. I promise you, you're going to have a lot of night games next year. But, yeah, I think it's great for the league. And I think Dan Quinn – what I like the most about it, and I don't know Dan, but we have the same agent, and I'm real close with my agent, and he always talked about Dan, and this was before he took the Washington job, that, you know, he reinvented himself before he got another job. Like, he would, like, find out, okay, I've got to change. I've got to do this. This is where I thought I had a weakness. And it's something like that. And you just see the energy he brings and how the team plays. And they brought those guys in, and then Washington did a great job of signing Frankie Louvu, who is that same person. That's, you want to talk about energy. I mean, just the energy and the passion that he brings. And it fits with a lot of some of those guys he brought from Dallas with him, and where he had other connections, because you build a culture. And if you have a guy who, pardon my French here, but if you have a turd on the football team, but if he's around a bunch of guys that love football and even it's practice habits and things like that, well, that turd will start to turn the other way, because there's only one way to do it. And when you have a bunch of those, you know, you coach, the team coaches itself. The coaches put a plan in place, but the team coaches itself, and it's a standard that gets set.
Totally.
At least the good teams I've ever been on. I mean, it was those teams police themselves, and they're not all these. You hate to use the word, oh, they're such good guys. No. I mean, like, it's there to play. Whether you hang out off the field or not, it doesn't matter. When it's on the field and it's time to play, everybody straps up and does their job.
There you go.
That's what they're building.
100%.
I mean, Brian and I are there a lot, and you can see it and feel it and hear it. And
well, thanks for letting us know we got a lot of late nights next year.
Well, I promise you. You know it too. Everybody knows it. I can promise you that.
Well, if you use Houston as a guidepost when C.J. Stroud goes off as a rookie, and then this year there's a lot of, like, excitement and expectations, they had zero primetime games last year. And the Texans this year have already played on Sunday night. They have a Thursday nighter, another Sunday nighter, and a Monday night coming up. For three straight weeks, weeks 9, 10, and 11, they're in primetime.
There you go.
And they're going to be flexed before the season ends again. Right. Exactly.
I think the league sets a max of how many times you can be scheduled in primetime. So some of these top teams, they usually leave a window open so they can flex them late.
Bring them back in there again.
I fear you're very, very right, Jake, and I'm going to be very, very tired. But, dude, seriously, thank you for the time.
Appreciate it,
Jake. This has been great.
Hey, man, anytime. And, you know, I know it doesn't get said much up in that region, but go Raging Cajuns.
There you go, baby.
It gets said a lot on this radio show.
Good.
Oh, yeah. All right, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you, man. Take care. Have a good day.
Jake DeLome right there.
Il awesome party.
Very, very good interview. When we come back, let's get to a little bit of what DQ said following that game. We'll play the Jaden stuff, but there were other things that happened in that game. First real update I think we'll get is today at 3:30, DQ set to address the media. Frankly, I think it's going to be a pretty non-committal update. Like, yeah, we ran some tests. We got to find some more stuff out. We'll keep you updated as the week goes on. They're not obligated to put an injury report out till Wednesday. They probably won't really tell you much till Wednesday. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NFL season continues on, and there's no better place to get in on the action than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. You'll get started with $300 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. You can build the same game parlay for any matchup on Sunday or even Monday night. Anytime touchdown, over rushing yards, over passing yards, put it all together, put you a small little bet in, and you can win some big money. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know who really flipped the script? Shout out to TLC when they recorded like the ladies version of that 50 years later or whatever. Bet you weren't expecting to hear that today, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Matt Essex here. Shout out to Matt. I think he went to the Skins game yesterday. Now, I wanted to point something out. Matt Essex is here, and Chris Russell's show, which Matt produces, doesn't start till 2 o'clock. So Matt is here 90 minutes early. Did want to just check in briefly with my man, Jeff. What was did you have a parking issue this morning, Jeff? something awry?
Nah, man. I told you I know you, JP.
I was going to do it when you said it earlier, but then you tried to call me on it. I was like, I said to B, I was like, oh, I'm doing it. He just doesn't know when it's coming now.
Nah, man. So
can I just toss a plausible theory out there?
Yes.
My man Jeff was DJing a tailgate, and you were DJing an event Saturday night, right? Shout out to our friend Doug. Happy birthday, Doug Riley.
Yep.
And then you're DJing an event at FedEx at Northwest Stadium yesterday.
Yes.
What time did you start DJing?
I started DJing at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. So you probably got there like 1:30 or so?
Yeah.
Get your equipment set up. And probably drinks were flowing, is my guess.
Yeah, drinks were flowing.
And then the game's at 4. Got out of there at 7:30.
Yep.
Probably wait out traffic a little bit.
Oh,
watch
not,
the Sunday night game.
I have a Jeep. Traffic is nothing for me.
You drive over other cars?
You just drive over the grass?
Yeah, what do you act like you're Bigfoot.
Yeah, like you're on off-road.
Ain't that grave digger.
No, the thing is, when you got a truck, people are like, they tiptoe out of that stadium. Oh, I just get around. And then when they see the truck, they slow down.
Okay.
But, dude.
Yes.
First, shout out to Bowie State Homecoming, and shout out to the governor because he was in our parade, and I didn't know that until after the show on Friday. Shout out to them for homecoming. But, Doug, yesterday.
So, hold on. Did you go from Doug Riley's birthday party to Bowie State Homecoming?
No, it was the other way around.
That's why, JP.
I went from Bowie State Homecoming to Doug Riley's 60th, and we had a great time.
Oh, boy. How did Doug feel about that?
Hey, yo, Doug told me the music was great. Everyone was on the dance floor at one point in time. We had a good time.
Okay.
That Doug's cool, man.
The problem that came, yes, Doug is very cool for a 60-year-old man.
Right, yeah, I don't know why you got to qualify it like that.
That man cool as hell.
No, you know why I say that? Because when he said, yo, it's my 60th birthday party, he was like, hey, I don't move like a 60-year-old man. Do it. So I said, like, for a 60-year-old man, he cool.
But hey, Landfill, how many times in the last minute has Jeff mentioned the dude's age on air?
Man, what the hell is
that's
wrong
the
with
event.
You, Jeff?
That's the event. What you want me to just say? His birthday? Okay.
Anyhow.
His birthday this.
Why were you late this morning? No, I don't care about Friday or Saturday or the governor.
So yesterday. We're loading my truck up.
So
it's a painful experience, dude. We loaded my truck up, and when I go to take my speakers out of the truck, a speaker slides out of my truck.
This is last night.
This is last night. So I'm like, instead of letting it hit the ground, I tried to catch it with my foot because that is an expensive speaker, and it didn't go as planned. It ended
up. Smash your foot?
Smashed my foot. I was bleeding. I was like, okay, I'll be all right.
Sorry, Jeff.
I'll be all right. But this morning when I woke up and I stepped out of bed, the pain that shot through my leg was so bad. I said, yeah, let me run, make sure I'm not, you know, I don't got no fractures or anything.
You went to the doctor this morning?
Yeah. Dead serious. I called Landfill before I got here.
Landfill, you were aware that Jeff went to the doctor this morning?
That's what he said.
Okay. But yeah.
You seem to be walking around good, dog.
So he just told me it was stiff from last night. It was a fresh injury.
Okay.
So I got the
I'm
pumping.
Glad you're all right.
Yeah, I'm good, though.
Safety first.
Safety first, last, and always.
Shout out to Jeff.
All right. Hey, Jeff heals quick.
Hopefully my juju rub off.
I don't want any of your juju rubbing off on anybody's anything. Now, Dan Quinn spoke last night after the game. I thought perhaps the most relevant, because he basically was like, I don't have an update. Don't ask me for an update. We're not giving you an update. He was polite about it, but he's like, I don't want to keep having to do this. Because what does happen, I've seen this happen with my own two eyes. There are some coaches that are not very firm about their injury updates, so they just get peppered with questions.
Oh, the damn time.
And then they eventually let something slip. DQ wasn't doing it.
Nah. It shouldn't have to do it. I think the NFL need to come up with something where a medical person can talk to the media and stop asking the coach. They don't know everything going on with that.
You know who actually did that once many years back was Tony Wiley brought out Larry Hess to answer a couple questions just so that we got some real clarity.
Who? I'm messing with you.
Yeah. I don't know which dude you're messing with me about, but that's fine. I think
I saw Tony yesterday.
Yeah, he was. I thought I saw him on the other side of the field. Number seven, Lamphill. This is Dan Quinn talking about the decision to pull Jaden from the game.
Dan, I know you were in the middle of coaching the team. If there's any way to kind of go over the sequence of people that had to be involved in deciding whether Jaden could come back or not, and sure. Who finally said he cannot come back today.
Yeah, that's from the medical side, Dave. And so, you know, with Al and the team doctors, so they were very clear in the communication. We warmed him up, he threw some, we took him to the tent, then the next step was we're gonna take inside and, you know, get images there, and he'll do some more images tomorrow. But that's the process that it goes through. And the good news is that it was really clear. You know, this is where we're at. So we had a couple guys, he went down, Brandon Coleman went down, Diami was able to come back. So that process, just like calling a play, is really important because you have to go, you know, if, for instance, I'm Brandon, it also goes to the special teams coach, you know, on, you know, PAT and field goal. And so the communication that has to take place on an injury, it goes all the way through. And so we've worked hard at that. It wasn't at a level that we loved during the preseason, and we got better at that as we're going. And so those are all things to grow from. And I was certainly pleased with the communication they gave me tonight, Dave.
So that's how it's supposed to work. The coach keeps coaching, the medical team deals with the medicals, and then they tell you what is or what isn't. And I think for all of the concern and all of the hysteria that happened pretty quickly there, it was handled really well.
Yeah.
And I think there was some serious concern as he walked into the tunnel, what's going on here. Late in that game, he was chilling, and they were up 34-0. There was never going to be a scenario where you put him back in.
No. I think the game played a huge part in how things were handled.
Totally. And I think number 10, Lamphill, just DQ talking about playing hurt players and how you balance that with kind of the value of players long term. It's a lot to try to juggle, especially in game. It's not like they have the week to make a decision based on what their medicals tell them. This is all happening in real time. Here's Dan Quinn.
It'd be the same as everybody. Yeah, so if he can go, then that would be the case. And if he can't, then we won't. But we won't put he or any other guys into a space where, you know, they could jeopardize something. So I don't have any information, like I said, medically. So please don't speculate on that.
I think DQ's basically handling everything the right way. I don't know, B, if it's totally true that they would handle Jaden, if he can or can't go, the exact same way they would handle Fedarian Mathis. But I also think it doesn't matter right now. You know, I in game, you're making decisions on the fly based on the medical opinions and where the game is. During the week, things go a little differently. But in the game, you're just reacting, trying to win. And I really think Washington handled everything yesterday very well.
Totally. They did what they could do, and they wasn't going to put their guy out there and mess with him.
A couple thoughts on Mariota from yesterday, and then I want to have a discussion, 1 o'clock, before we go around the league. Where does Washington land in the league? Like, they're 5-2, dude. At some point, you have the crazy fans that want to talk Super Bowl. You have the crazy skeptics that say they haven't beaten anybody. But there's a reality somewhere in the middle that I think is starting to look pretty damn good. Nobody
go
anywhere.
They beat a lot of somebodies. They beat the people that were on their damn schedule.
Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
B. Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV. And just like our upgraded football team, now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, trust me, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV, and if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. Head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. Always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
Fan. So, the early lines I saw were that they weren't releasing a line because they didn't know what was going on with Jaden Daniels. Now, that won't last that long.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at next week, Bears coming to town, 425, Jim Nance, Tony Romo. Now, currently, as it sits, where there's real question if Jaden's going to play, Bears are favored at Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, the West was bumping yesterday.
Yep.
And it would have been bumping if the Jaden situation didn't occur. I think
totally.
I think the Jaden situation had enough people kind of on pause.
It was bumping, though.
Do you, I don't want to say care, are you surprised by the Bears being favored at Northwest Stadium?
No, I'm not surprised with Jaden. No. I'm not surprised at that because I know our defense
Bears are 4-2 also. They're playing good.
Their offense is playing great, and I think our defense played spectacular yesterday, but hasn't been consistent in that way. So I'm not surprised because let's be real. The way that they start off these bets and stuff is not necessarily just to say what they really care one way or the other. It's going to get people voting one way, then they're going to adjust that to make people – they're trying to make the bets be more even than anything else.
I think the Bear – if you want to play the who have you beaten game to Washington, mm-hmm. play it to Chicago. Bears are 4-2, and that's what's up. Uh-huh. That's the facts. But they have beaten all at home, the Titans, the Rams, the Panthers, and they beat the Jaguars in London.
Mm-hmm.
This week they come off a bye. Do you think coming off the bye impacts that thing at all?
Normally teams come – well, I've worked for everybody. If it was Andy Reid coming off the bye, I put my house on him. I don't know about this coach and the people he's with there. I don't know about them.
I don't know the answer to this because the Jaden factor. The Skins are home underdogs to the Bears.
No.
Okay. Because of the Jaden questions?
Not even because of the Jaden questions. All right. Last time the Bears came to Washington, they completely smacked us in the mouth. Most of them guys are still there. Granted, we're playing well, but we can't just underestimate them. I think, you know, Caleb is coming into his
hometown.
He's coming into his hometown. But even he's coming, like the game is starting. You can see that it's starting to slow down for him. Like he's starting to see the field better and things. And their team is, in my opinion, their team is well more put together than ours. And it's fine. We could be the underdogs. I'm not worried about the lines, none of that. Because at the end of the day, the fight that I've been seeing these guys put up week to week, it don't even matter to me.
I think this team can care less about what a favorite or not. As I said today, their whole thing is improving the things that they did wrong this week, get that better. If they improve themselves, they have a damn good chance. And if they keep protecting the ball like they are, running the ball like they are, they're going to be in every damn football game they play. We'll see what happens after that.
Can I ask you a question, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Do you owe me an apology?
By what?
I said they're going to kick the Panthers' ass.
No, I just told you don't say it.
Shut up.
No, I say stop saying it because
I told you the Panthers sucked and they kicked their ass.
Jeff, if we want to say we owe somebody an apology, how many times you said it and they didn't win the game?
The Bears, how about this? Are we at least even for the Bears game last year? I was wrong there. But I was right this one.
You came behind that with the Giants game with DeVito.
Bro, if I may defend myself, it's not my fault about DeVito and 27-0 to the Bears. Like, take it up with Ron and Jack and everybody there.
Hey, you brought it up again
because
you wanted to get some crowd, so I got to throw it back in your face.
Okay, but I was right on this one. So now in my guarantee games, I'm 1-2.
Yeah, so you're still losing.
But if I get one more, we're Gucci.
Nah, you just don't do it anymore. Just let the game happen.
When you know it's going to happen, you got
to
just...
All right, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Did you go and put a bet on it to where they're going to win by 33?
I did not bet. 20? I did not specifically bet.
That's when you know.
Jeff, you think he owes me an apology, dude?
Hell no.
I was going to say, not really, but I can't lie. I can't lie. As I'm watching the game yesterday and I'm sitting in the West, I said, dang, JP did say they was going to smack them. Because
in that first drive before the interception, what you were thinking?
I didn't make it in. I was literally walking.
You were late.
Late for the game again.
Oh, you were late. Did you hurt your foot pregame too?
No, bro. I had to break down my. I was DJing from 2 to 4. I had to break down my equipment. I wasn't gonna leave that out. Now I love Commanders fans now, but I don't trust them that much.
I don't blame you.
But yeah, dude, I was walking up, and I just heard, boom, and I'm like, they scored already.
Yeah, how? That got me. I didn't see the play at first. I was coming up the elevator.
Shout out to the
Fat Boys. And I walk out the elevator. I'm like, what the hell happened? I ran to the TV. I said, there we go, baby.
Shout out to the Fat Boys. You see Big Boy get.
What, no Fat Boy?
Bro, he's a big boy, bro.
Nah, man, Fowler's not a Fat Boy.
Fowler's an athlete. He's more of a linebacker than a D lineman.
Yo, you on a D line, you a Fat Boy by.
He's listed as a linebacker.
Association. Okay, linebacker. You still a big boy.
Yeah, but you said Fat Boy. There's a difference.
Hey, he was fat at one point in his life.
You and your cousins. Y'all like,
you see him boogie down that
you
field?
You and your cousins, same people.
Heard him and everything. He looked better than Lamar Jackson.
Oh, Lord. You're going a little far now.
Does B-Mitch owe me an apology, Landfill?
Yes.
Man,
Do you owe me an apology?
Hell no.
I said they were going to destroy him.
Does Jeff owe us an apology for being late to the football game and late to a Monday show, which are pretty damn popular?
Yes.
The phones were answered on time.
Well, we don't take calls till 11.
Okay, so he was on time.
Two things can be true.
So you were early.
Two things can be true.
So you were early, Jeff.
Early by that, man.
Yeah.
Serious question. And we'll open the phones. Are the Commanders one of the best teams in the NFL? It's a real question. Look at the records. Nobody go anywhere.